Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, that the words which we have heard this day with our outward ears may, through thy grace, be so grafted inwardly in our hearts that they may bring forth in us the fruit of good living to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. It is important when reading through any book that we know the overall theme of what we are reading. The challenge for the reader is that if the overall theme is not really known, then it's hard to make sense of the parts. Where is all this headed? The same is true when we read through a book of the Bible. If we don't know the overall theme of that book that we're reading, then we will not understand the various parts and wonder where the author is going in his train of thought. If I were to summarize the theme of our New Testament lesson of the whole book of Philippians in one sentence, it is that Paul wrote to the Philippians about the nature of our joy in Christ. Christian joy comes from being united to Christ and by serving the Lord in one another. In this letter of Paul, he uses the word either joy or rejoice 16 times in a letter that's only 4 chapters long. And so joy is the dominant theme running throughout this letter. Paul wrote this letter from prison, this letter characterized by the theme of joy, which shows us by the very fact that he was in prison that his joy was not based on good circumstances or nice surroundings. It's very apparent that our joy in Christ does not come from our outward circumstances. And so my 2 points for this morning, 2 specific reasons for Paul's joy in our passage this morning. The first point is that Paul offered prayer for the Philippians with joy. The reason he was able to do that was their continued participation in the gospel from the first day they believed until now. The Apostle Paul says this in Philippians 1, 4, and 5, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. From time to time, somebody will ask me, what is your greatest joy as a pastor? And certainly one of my joys as a pastor is to see Christians continuing to persevere in their Christian faith despite hard circumstances, to remain steadfast in their following Christ. This is the joy that Paul speaks of here. The Philippian believers participated in the gospel by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and serving him. Paul said they participated in the gospel from the first day until now. They served the Lord when Paul first met them, and the phrase until now reminds us that they continued in their journey with Christ. They remained, continued, and persevered in Christ. They show us by example that we grow as Christians as we continue in faithful service to the Lord in spite of harsh circumstances and difficulties. They serve the Lord in a hostile world, even as we do. They serve with Paul in the gospel, and they were joined at the hip with him in serving the Lord. Let's take note that Paul's source of joy is not his material prosperity or the serene relationship with others around him or an outward metrics of success. Paul's joy came from the spiritual health and progress that these Philippian believers were making. The Philippian believers remained faithful to Paul even as in prison, which means they may have even visited him in prison. If someone can stand by someone else while they're in prison, that is saying a lot about the person's integrity and the depth of his friendship and commitment to that person. If someone were to visit Paul in prison in times of religious persecution, the one visiting the prisoner could be found guilty of by association and then followed after he left that prison back to his home, and then would become a further target for interrogation and persecution. If they stood by Paul while he was in prison, he had every confidence that they would support him in prayer and stand behind him when he was out of prison and able to more actively be engaged in the ministry of the gospel. So Paul remembered these believers with joy every time he prayed for them. Brings me to my second point, and that was that Paul was joyful because of God's complete salvation of us. Paul reminds us in verse 6 of Philippians 1, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it, complete it until the day of Christ Jesus." This verse has been a favorite verse of mine from my days in college. That was not yesterday. So for the past 45 years, this has been what I would say my favorite verse. In this verse, Paul confesses the fact that God loves us from all eternity, and he set us apart to himself. Christ lived, died for our sins, rose again, and ascended into heaven for our salvation. The Holy Spirit caused us to be born again spiritually and enables us to continue to believe in Jesus Christ as the divine Son of God and Savior and live for his glory. What God starts in us, he completes in us. And our God is a God of perfection and completion whose works are always complete and full. The Apostle Paul writes this, inspired by the Holy Spirit, because he knows that when the gospel message of the Lord Jesus does its changing work in our hearts, it is not a temporary thing. It's not just a phase or fad that we went through. It's not a temporary religious experience that may fade away in the passage of time. If there is genuine faith in the risen Lord, genuine loyalty to him as King, this can only be because of the living God who has worked for us and in us. So what he starts, he completes. And that completion is the day of Christ Jesus, the day he returns. This, of course, does not mean there won't be bumps along the road in our sanctification. There will be many battles that we wage against the world, the flesh, and the devil who seek to draw us away from God. But having begun his good work in us, God will make sure that it is brought to completion. What Philippians 1:6 states briefly, Paul lays out the same truth in more detail in Romans 8:29 and 30, when he speaks of the five golden links of redemption, past, present, and future. What God foreknew, he predestined, and those he predestined, he called, and those he called, he justified, and those he justified, he glorified. There are no gaps. There are no broken chains in this link of redemption. And each verb that Paul uses in Romans 8:30 is in the past tense, including the word glorified. And yet, we're not glorified yet, but his certainty of our glorification is so certain he can speak of it in the past tense. And so what Paul speaks of in greater detail in Romans 8:30 is also sounded forth in Philippians 1:6, that Paul is confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will complete it, will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Jesus also used similar words in John chapter 6 and verse 39, where he said, "This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day." Christ will not lose one believer. All of God's children, all genuine Christians will be finally saved. And so there is no gap between those who come to Christ in faith and those who are finally saved at the second coming of Christ. Christ raising us up. What God begins, he completes. And of course, that includes our responsibility to persevere in our faith. But we're able to persevere because God preserves us and keeps us safe. Take note also that Paul's confidence in God's complete salvation does not prevent Paul from praying for us for our spiritual growth in knowledge and discernment. St. Paul says in Philippians 1:9, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and discernment." While Paul is confident that God will complete that which he has begun in us, he also prays that our faith and our love would grow stronger and stronger. We would mature. In order for us to reach the goal of union with God in heaven, we must cooperate in our sanctification and persevere in our faith in the Lord, and that it would abound and grow. Paul speaks of real knowledge of the Lord and discernment. Paul would say that our knowledge of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, is not real unless we combine head and heart as we believe on and obey the Lord. We know that our faith is abounding more and more as we commit ourselves and we learn to consent to God's will and we follow him in obedience. Even in the simple tasks that our gospel reading speaks about, since we've been forgiven such a huge debt by God, we need to imitate God's love for us as we love one another and forgive one another. No one is perfect in this life, but we ought to be growing and maturing and excelling in our thirst and practice of the truth of the gospel. We must ever keep before our minds and hearts that God has given us both his law and his gospel. The law of God defines our duty before God and how we ought to live in order to glorify God. The law reminds us that we are sinners. But God's word, his gospel, does not leave us in the despair of our sins, but reminds us that the gospel is good news, that our sins are forgiven and that we are restored, cleansed, and set free to serve the Lord by what he has done for us. If we would only have God's law, we would be miserable and without hope because we realize and have knowledge of our sins and our continuing sins. But the gospel renews us and rejuvenates our hope in him and his grace for us. Even as Christians who have been Christian for decades, the gospel is what inspires us to make progress in our sanctification, abounding in the knowledge of God's love for us, and not something we can do in our own strength, but only through the grace given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. May we find joy in the good news of God's redeeming love. And even as we make progress, we do so by the Lord's help and grace. He who started a good work in us will bring it to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. May his name be glorified and praised now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, strengthen us in the discipline of finding joy in your Son, Jesus Christ, and giving thanks for the joy of our salvation. Help us day by day to grow in the grace and knowledge of you. These things we beg through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.